We have come today to the last lesson, part two of lesson 11, in a series of lessons on marriage and family, the second version under that title. And we have given these lessons in hopes that we might come to greater understanding of marriage and family as God intends for those relationships to be. He is the authority over all, and He is the one who has the right to command. Since He has created us and created these relationships for our good, if we would submit to His will, we are looking at some principles that guide the unrighteous, that guide the righteous family. We looked at righteousness from one generation to another. That is God's purpose for the family. That righteousness, or learning, doing what is right according to the Word of God, be perpetuated from one generation of humanity to the next. Trust and obey God's authoritative Word in all of our relationships. That is the foundation of a righteous family, as we looked at even in the first lesson of this series. Seek and apply divine wisdom that produces righteous values. And so these are the lessons that we want to consider as we go through our lesson today. So we will look and review briefly, seek and apply divine wisdom that produces righteous values. What are some of those values that we looked at? We looked at two of them, I believe. We are to love and reverence God above all each day, and trust in God and those who are righteous, seeking godly advice. Then we are also to be prayerful and thankful for all things at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we learned that that was the basic problem among the Gentile nations that turned to idolatry and immorality. It began by denying God and denying gratitude to God, who is the giver of life and all things. Romans 1:21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so this is what happened, and that is what we seek to overcome by being thankful to God and acknowledging Him every day. We are to love others as Christ has loved you, or us, would be better put. The night before Jesus died, He thought of His disciples rather than Himself, and He would sacrifice Himself on the cross, the greatest demonstration of love for humanity, for the forgiveness of our sins, in a few hours from that time. But that night he took a towel and water and washed the feet of His 12 disciples. John 13 and verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside His garments, and taking a towel, He girded Himself. Then He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. And he said that he did that to show them an example of the type of love that they were to have toward one another, a self-sacrificing love that met the needs of each other, both spiritual and physical. John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then later on that night he said, John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." And so Jesus said, you are to love one another, and teaching children to love one another as Jesus has loved them and us is what one of the basic values that we ought to propagate in the family. We are to speak truth to one another, instead of lying, which is so common in our society. Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Members of one another, speaking truth. God, who cannot lie, commands that we speak truth. Then, going on to the next principle, we are to take personal responsibility for our sins. That begins ultimately with becoming a Christian, and we are to teach children what they must do to be saved, and that involves believing in Jesus to the point of repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of our sins, to become a child of God, so that our past sins might be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Acts 2:38, that's what Peter said when they said, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter said to them, "Repent in each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then, as Christians, we are to continue to turn to God when we sin, to change our minds, to repent and pray for his forgiveness, that we might continue with him. Acts 8:22, that's what Simon, who had already been baptized and had become a Christian, was told to do when he coveted the power of the Holy Spirit for his own purpose. Acts 8:22, "Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." And part of taking responsibility for our sins is teaching children, even before they become Christians, to settle their difficulties with each other and with parents quickly, if that is possible, instead of harboring grudges toward each other, seeking forgiveness and forgiving others when there has been sin involved. Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." Verse 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And so we are to take personal responsibility for sin, showing quickly trying to settle those things, forgiving each other, whoever has sinned, repenting and forgiving each other, showing the type of love that we are to have toward each other, a patient, sacrificing love that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So this is the type of love that we are to have toward one another, and that is to be communicated to children, so that sin does not take root and rule in the parental relationship or the children's relationship with one another or with the parents. Then we are to flee fornication and pursue scriptural marriage. We've mentioned that several times. This is what must be taught to children instead of the promotion of fornication, sexual sin, outside of marriage. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee immorality, that's the word fornication. That is sexual sin that is not involved, that is not in marriage. Flee immorality, every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now concerning the things about which I wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, to have sexual relations with her. But because of fornications, immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband, which is the place where God has put sexual relationships. The only lawful way that they are to be conducted is between a man and a woman in a marriage that God has authorized by His Word. Matthew 19 and verse 3, some Pharisees came to Jesus testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Have you not read that? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Let not man separate. And so many marriages involving separating what God has joined together and then joining to others that God forbids us to join. Although they are legal, they are not sanctified by God or authorized by God, the Word of God, and they must be ended. Even though there might be financial support involved, and rightfully so, in the raising of children and providing for that one to whom we were married, even though God does not authorize that, but the support continues, but the relationship must be ended in that sense. So so that we might be pleasing to God. Verse 7, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way. In other words, divorce is never God's intention. Then verse 9, Jesus said, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, except for fornication, and marries another woman, commits adultery. And so, unless we do that, then if we or our spouse enter into another marriage, then we will be committing adultery in God's sight. Even though legally we can divorce and remarry, but if it's not for fornication, the innocent divorcing the guilty, then we commit adultery. And Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so how imperative it is to teach children as they grow to look to scriptural marriage and not become enslaved or involved in fornication, which God condemns, and not to get into a marriage which also God may condemn by trying to join ourselves to someone whom God does not join us to in his lawful scriptural marriage. We are to serve God by faith each day, rejoicing even when suffering. Luke 9:23, Jesus was saying to them, he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so we are to serve God by faith in Jesus, the Son of God, based upon his word, trusting in that word enough to obey God, looking forward to being rewarded in eternal glory, with eternal glory. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And this faith must be based upon the word of God. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans 10, verse 17. This faith is producing a mind. The mind is being renewed so that our character, our thinking, our desires, and our actions may be conformed to Jesus rather than to the world, as we daily meditate on, study, and apply the Word of God, being changed by that which deeply enters our hearts. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And as we serve God and study and apply His word. We also pray to God depending on His answers each day. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus set the example of one who suffered for us, so that we might follow in His steps, always being willing to suffer for doing what's right, just like He did, knowing that God will take care of all, and one day we can be with Him. 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. And so Jesus set the example, even going to the cross, showing that it's better to suffer doing the will of God than to suffer for acting sinfully. Because one day, just like He has been, we will be glorified and be able to be with God and Jesus for eternity. Be loyal to Christ above all, including family, which is one of the most difficult things to do, but which is a principle that we are to seek to follow. Matthew 10:34, beginning, do not think, Jesus said, that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's house and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus is saying we must sacrifice for Him. We must put Him above all, including family. When there's a conflict between doing what is right and following family, then we must do what is right according to the word of Jesus in the apostles' teaching found in the New Testament. And then finally, Matthew 12, verse 47, someone said to Him, to Jesus, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling Him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out His hand toward His disciples, He said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Oh, Jesus making it clear that loyalty to Him is paramount, supreme above loyalty to any human being, including the nearest and dearest to us, our family, spouse, or children. these righteous principles that we should follow. Righteousness is from one generation to another. We are to trust and obey God's authoritative word in all of our relationships. Seek and apply divine wisdom that produces righteous values, attitudes. Take personal responsibility for sins. Flee fornication and pursue scriptural marriage. Serve God by faith each day, rejoicing even when suffering. And be loyal to Christ above family, or including family. This is what we are to follow each day. And then those values that we have talked about that we should be following, we are to love and reverence God above all each day. We are to trust in God and those who are righteous. We are to be prayerful and thankful for all things at all times. Love others as Christ has loved you, and speak truth to one another. These are the things that we need to follow in having a righteous family. And so we are going to stop there, and we are thank God that we are able to conclude such a extended series, and we look forward to other lessons we seek to give as we have opportunity online. And we will turn next week, God willing, on Monday to a lesson overcoming disappointments from Philippians chapter 1, which certainly maybe is timely and needed for all. We're going to stop there and encourage all, whatever our condition may be, to become a child of God, a Christian, in the way that the Scriptures teach, as we read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins after living a perfect life, that He is God who came in the flesh, and after dying for our sins, living a perfect life and dying for our sins, He has ascended back to heaven after being raised from the dead and is now ruling as Lord of all and priest before God at His right hand. If you believe that, then turn to Jesus away from your sins. Turn to Him. Change your mind. Repent, which means a change of mind, a turning to God from sin. Confess that faith in Jesus as the Son of God, that He is God and Lord of heaven and earth. He is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Confess that faith in Him, and as soon as possible be immersed in water, baptized by the authority of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. As we can read in Acts 2 and at the end of Acts 8, verse 32 to the end of the chapter. These are the examples that we have. This is what they did to become children of God, by faith, trusting in the blood of Jesus to cleanse them. And this is what we call upon all to do whenever you may hear this lesson. And we would encourage you to write, text, or email us, or text, or call us, that we may have opportunity to speak with you further about these things and to possibly study with you by Zoom. We would encourage all to respond before it is too late. And those who are already Christians, we would encourage you to repent and pray as we sin before God and turn to Him and pray for forgiveness, acknowledging our sins, that we might be continued in His grace and His knowledge, and in His knowledge and grace day by day. Acts chapter 8, 18 through 24, and 1 John chapter 1. We would encourage all to respond before it is ever too late, as the day we draw our lesson to a close.